Welcome to the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. Tune in to hear leaders in neurology sound off on topics that impact your clinical practice. In this episode, we're joined by Dr. Donald Fry, a neurointerventional surgeon at Swedish Medical Center and Radiology Imaging Associates in Denver, Colorado. Dr. Fry, who is a past president of the Society for Neurointerventional Surgery, is at the forefront of efforts to improve stroke systems of care, starting with advocating for changes to national legislation on triage and transport protocols.
My name is Don Fry. I'm a neurointerventional surgeon in Denver, Colorado, at Swedish Medical Center, Radiology Imaging Associates, RIA Neurovascular, past president of the Society of Neurointerventional Surgery. You know, my background is neurointerventional surgery, so I treat large vessel occlusion endovascular. I certainly work very closely with a lot of really good stroke neurologists. And, you know, specifically, we're not treating enough patients. Mm-hmm. And that's both intravenous and, you know, in my subspecialty, endovascular. I mean, the number of large vessel occlusion strokes in the U.S. is somewhere between maybe 150 and 200,000, and we're treating about 10 or 15% of the eligible patients. Mm-hmm. So that just means there's a lot of patients that are dying or have long-term disability that actually could end up, if they got to the right hospital first, could walk out of the hospital potentially and have no neurological deficit at all. So that's the problem. I think the endovascular treatment is very effective. It's got a number being treated 2 to 3, which is probably one of the most effective treatments in medicine. Mm-hmm. It's about 10 times more effective than coronary stenting for acute MI. But, you know, all these papers were published now about 5 years ago, and the systems of care need to catch up with the science. So it's kind of the action plan. So, you know, one of the, I think, biggest problems we see is that these patients with severe strokes are not getting directly to the hospital that can perform a thrombectomy. And EMS has kind of guidelines. So they have, you know, state health department directed guidelines, and the standard guideline for EMS is bring the patient to the nearest hospital, period. Now, there's some exceptions. If there's a high-level trauma patient, they bring it to a level 1 trauma center. If they think the patient's having a myocardial infarction, they bring it to a hospital that can perform coronary intervention. And we need to change the guidelines for patients with large vessel occlusion stroke elbow, mm-hmm. because it's probably one of the most time-sensitive medical emergencies out there. If you're losing, you know, 1.9 million neurons per minute and you go to a hospital 5 minutes away from where EMS picks you up, but that hospital can't perform a thrombectomy, and then it's 1 to 2 hours of intra-hospital transport time, or they never get transferred to the right hospital. Right. Those patients, you know, instead of having a potentially, you know, reversible neurological deficit, they have a severe, you know, disabling or fatal stroke. So that's where I think we need to get the systems of care caught up with the science.
Sure. And I mean, in terms of kind of the geographical layout, you know, especially in the middle of the country, I mean, you're in Colorado, correct?
Yes.
So, I mean, I know we're on the East Coast here, and there are, you know, I think the access to a comprehensive stroke center is much more likely, you know, I think on the East or West Coast, on the more populated areas, than it is in Central America. You know, so in terms of that kind of barrier, I mean, what are we doing? Is there any action being taken to increase the hospitals that are certified, increase access to those specialists?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there are a couple things. One is, even honestly, in the patient, in the hospitals with, or the cities with the largest kind of geographical density, not every hospital can be a comprehensive stroke center.
Right.
just like every hospital can't do open heart surgery. So in cities, and I live in Denver, you know, we have 6 comprehensive stroke centers in Denver, and maybe there's 40 hospitals. So you're never going to have every hospital be comprehensive stroke center at level one.
Right.
Stroke centers, we can call it, it's easier to call it level one. So I think even in areas where the population density is high, there are still issues. There are certainly increasing numbers of centers that perform thrombectomy. You know, 5 years ago in Colorado, there were 3, now there are 8.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers are increasing of centers that can do it. Part of the problem is that the centers that, you know, all the hospitals kind of want this. This is kind of a hot subspecialty for hospitals to get behind, partially because they, or maybe completely because they are reimbursed well, the hospitals are.
Mm-hmm.
So centers that just say, hey, we can do thrombectomy, they may not really be able to do it well.
Right.
So that's an issue. There are different kind of levels of quality. But you're never going to have every hospital do everything. So I think what you need to do is, and this is what we've been working on in our kind of Western state for, you know, over 20 years, is making sure that, you know, if you're in a small remote area where there is, you know, like there's only one hospital in a county because it's very sparsely populated, you have to have a plan for transfer in place already where the wheels are set in motion very quickly. That's a solution for areas that are very, you know, minimally populated. But I think in the densely populated areas, pick any city, there are going to be, you know, maybe 10% of the hospitals can do thrombectomy and 90% can't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think these EMF kind of triage and transport protocols and guidelines are really important.
Sure. So, yeah, so then let's talk more about those players. You know, there are many different parties involved, like I said, in stroke care, like I said, from the EMS transport teams to that original kind of, you know, ED triage, you know, to the stroke specialist and then over to you as the neurointerventionalist. So what's really needed to better coordinate care across all of those groups?
I think, you know, there's a couple pieces. One is, you know, what happens before the patient gets to the hospital, and that's EMS.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the EMS kind of protocols are driven by, almost always by the state health departments. It's not a federal mandate, it's a state health department thing. And so I think that has to be worked on. It really has to be legislative or health department guidelines telling EMS, look, there are different types of strokes. Now, some strokes are mild. Some strokes are severe related to large vessel occlusion. They're actually good triage tools. So I think we have to educate EMS on the triage of stroke to severe and not. And then we have to give the EMS the power to bring the patient to the right hospital first.
Right.
And maybe instead of 10 minutes away, maybe 15 minutes away,
mm-hmm.
or 30 minutes away. But I think if it's even up to 30 minutes further away, there's some data from different scientific studies that have shown that the outcomes are so much better because the faster you get the artery open, the better. And intra-hospital transport is really slow. So that's the EMS piece. I think the other piece is what happens to the patient when they arrive at the hospital. And I think one of the things EMS coordinates well with hospitals, and I think this should be kind of universal, is that they should be calling stroke alerts from the field. And I picked up Mrs. Jones. She has, you know, weakness on one side and not speaking. I think that she has a stroke, so I'm going to call a stroke alert to the receiving hospital so their stroke team is ready for the patient as soon as the patient arrives.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something that, you know, the EMS to emergency room coordination should be kind of you know, maximized. And then the other issue is what happens to the patient when they arrive at the hospital. And that's where, you know, the stroke team has to be available 24/7. If they're a candidate for intravenous alteplase, they should be given that medication very quickly. They should go direct to imaging. If it's a potential large vessel occlusion, the endovascular stroke team should be called in quickly. So all these time metrics are so important.
Right.
You know, our, you know, American Stroke Association says the, you know, the time from door to weekend, door to IV TPA or door to needle should be 60 minutes. In our hospital, it's 17 minutes.
Wow.
So which patient's going to do better? The one that, you know, on average gets it 60 minutes after they arrive, which means half the patients are probably after that. So that could be improved really immensely. And then, you know, from the neurointerventional side, a few years ago, we published some recommended guidelines on time metrics. And our recommendation was, you know, door to recanalization within 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. So they have to go to imaging. They have to be, you know, get into the procedure room, and the procedure has to be completed. In our hospital, the average door to recanalization time is 60 minutes. So, you know, those patients just saved, you know, 60 million neurons.
Right.
So I think there are ways we can kind of increase the time efficiency once they arrive at the hospital, and that's a big piece. But it's multifactorial, and I think that's the challenge.
Right. And, I mean, the obviously other kind of big looming player in this is the legislative factor, right? I mean, you know, you're speaking with at the National EMS Advisory Council soon. So let's talk a little bit about those barriers, which I feel like a lot of people in the community probably think, well, it's kind of out of our hands, but you're clearly trying to take action. So tell me a little bit more about what you're doing on that end.
Yeah, so that is, you know, it's interesting. I'm a physician. I don't know anything about politics, and mm-hmm. now I've learned a little bit about it. People don't like change. So that's kind of, that's human nature. So if you tell someone, you know, maybe an EMS medical director, you know, you need to change the way you guys handle stroke, their, you know, their first reaction is like, I don't like change. And they grumbled about what they had to do with trauma centers, you know, where they have these protocols of getting the high-level traumas to directly to the level of trauma centers. So, you know, I think that's the first thing is people don't like change. But then we've met actually on Capitol Hill with, you know, national legislators before, several, you know, now we're doing it every year. We started this about 4 years ago. And you tell the story like, hey, you know, this person lives 1 mile away from a level one stroke center, and this person lives 2 miles away. And the person that went to the level one stroke center first walked out of the hospital the next day. The other person went 1 mile closer to the hospital. It doesn't do thrombectomy, never made it to the other one, and that person never walked again. So you explain the solution, which is triage the patients in the field with a simple stroke scale, whether it's LA motor scale, fast ED, VAN, whatever. There are many easy ones. EMS can download an app on their phone, and it's super easy to go through that, and then get them to the right hospital first. And all these, you know, legislators, most of them are not in medicine. They're like, what do you mean? I mean, are you telling me this isn't being done already?
Sure.
This is not already being done? I'm like, no, it's not. I'm like, geez, this is crazy.
Right.
So I think the solution is not, it's an easy solution. But implementing anything in politics is a challenge. But we've been successful in, you know, in many states. I mean, Colorado passed a joint resolution, which was sponsored by every representative and senator. Tennessee passed a really robust legislation signed by the governor, I think, in 2018. So more and more states are doing this, and the momentum is picking up. But it really has to happen, and it has to happen now, because, you know, we're, you know, 100,000 people a year in the U.S. are dying or being severely disabled that I could treat.
Right.
So I think it's a real sense of urgency, and I don't think the solution's hard. It's just getting to politics. And I think one of the big roadblocks, honestly, is, you know, the state hospital associations. They represent every hospital, and if only 10% of the hospitals do thrombectomy, their majority of their members are not interested in having a patient go past their ER to the next hospital, because they don't want to lose money.
Sure.
I think there are definitely, you know, players that don't want this, but I think the majority of the players definitely want this because the evidence is so strong.
Absolutely. Now, again, you know, we're talking about involvement, you know, on the national level in terms of the government, and then within the healthcare community, obviously, advocacy and awareness from the American Stroke Association, you know, Society of Nerve Interventional Surgery. But in terms of taking action and being an advocate, I mean, do you have a call to action for your fellow healthcare providers in the stroke community? I mean, what can they be doing at their level to really help further this?
Well, I think all physicians in the stroke community should be working harder to treat patients faster and coordinating amongst, you know, most physicians practice, and many physicians practice at more than one hospital. So I think coordinating efforts between hospitals and making sure that hospitals transport patients very efficiently is important. But I think everyone needs to work a little bit harder at accomplishing this. Mm-hmm. And if your door-to-needle time is, on average, say, 59 minutes, why shouldn't it be 30 minutes?
Right.
And same thing with a neurointerventional surgeon. If you can't get the artery open within an hour of arrival, you need to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, I think there are more hospitals that need to become level one, you know, stroke centers that can perform thrombectomy. But I think one of the biggest hurdles really is getting the patient to the right hospital first.
Sure.
And I think we need to work more closely with our emergency medicine physicians and really EMS providers and EMS medical directors and regional, you know, EMS medical directors and coordinate more with them. I think that's where, you know, that's where I think the neurointerventional and physicians and the stroke neurologists need to spend more of their efforts is working more closely with EMS and the EMS physician leaders.
Thanks for listening to the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. For more neurology news and expert-driven content, visit neurologylive.com.